Good afternoon. I'd like to call the Conference Committee for State and Local Government and Elections to order. A quorum is present. We are meeting today to go over largely election provisions, or maybe exclusively election provisions, and those that we would consider same and similar. We're really grateful to have our counsel from both the House and the Senate who are going to walk us through provisions that have been the subject of a lot of conversation among members. There are also provisions that have largely been heard in both bodies, and so they are familiar provisions. And with that, unless members have questions, Chair Cleburne, questions, I would like to turn to our counsel, Ms. Stengel and Mr. Gehring, to walk us through, to orient us to what we are doing and to walk us through.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. You should have your Article 5 side-by-side summary in your binders, and you should also have a document that's titled 2023 Omnibus State Gov Finance with the bill numbers, and then it says Election Administration Policy, same and similar section for potential adoption. It's a grid. It looks sort of like this. Mr. Gehring and I will largely be going through this document. On the very left-hand side, there's these are line numbers, not section numbers, on the very left-hand column, so we can reference which line we're on. There's a brief description of the topic, the side-by-side number, whether they're same or similar. If they are provisions that are the same, we have listed both the House and the Senate section. If they are similar, we have only listed the House or the Senate section to indicate which are being considered by the committee today. So Mr. Gehring and I will go back and forth and sort of do a high-level overview of what these provisions do, and we are happy to answer questions as we go along or at the end or whatever you prefer, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Ms. Stengel. And for members, I just want to make sure that before they begin that we feel clear about how we're proceeding with the work today. If you do have questions, please, you know, let's talk about them as we go through. It's our intention at the end of this that we will adopt the sames and the similars. And so if there are provisions that we discussed that you have particular questions about before we adopt, you can pull them out so we can adopt them further. But I just want to make sure that people are clear that the path for today is the adoption of a number of the provisions for the conference dealing with elections. And we want to make sure that people have answers to their questions before we proceed. All good? Good. All right.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Looking from the grid document, the first line has to do with voting by participants in the Safe at Home program, and this allows the Secretary of State to prepare a ballot to be mailed to those individuals. And those sections are the same. The second line has to do with residential housing lists, and this requires post-secondary institutions to provide a student housing list to be used for election day voting registration, and these are these are identical provisions. The next requires the Statewide Voter Registration System, or SVRS, to be able to produce reports for early voting, which is established later in the bill. These sections are similar, but the difference is only in how the effective date is written. The effective date is the same, but it references a certification that is required, and that's done differently. And throughout, you'll see that the House effective date has been selected for the early voting provisions because it technically works better. Line four has to do with registration prior to election day and allows third parties to sync up with the online voter registration system. On line five, there's another identical provision that has to do with election day registration. And this has to do with the lists of the definition of residential facility in terms of election day registration, and it adds assisted living, updates assisted living terminology to match some things that were changed in law a few years ago in that area of law, and adds residential treatment facilities and adult foster cares. On line six, there's an identical provision allowing additional proofs of residence for student voters. Line seven is an identical provision that changes the word resides to maintains residence, and there is a series of sections throughout this bill that changes that terminology, so we'll shorthand that as a maintains residence section. Line eight is another maintains residence section, and they are the same. Line nine is the same, and it amends the presidential primary political party list so that each party only gets their party's list. Line 10 is the same, and that's a maintained residence provision. Line 11 is the same, and this is some terminology updates when it has to do with entering voter registration information.
Then, Madam Chair, starting on page 2 of the table is line 12. This is identical language between the House and the Senate. The head note there is use of the change of address system, and this is one of the maintains residence sections where the language is the same between both bodies. Line 13 refers to language within the series of sections that relate to post-secondary student voter registration. The proposal here is to adopt Senate section 10, but additionally to include the House version of language related to maintaining residence, which you see on line 84.18 of House section 18. So you're sort of merging the two sections together for this proposal. Then line 14 is also related to the voter post-secondary student voter registration information sections. The language here is similar between the two bodies, and the proposal is to adopt Senate section 11. Moving ahead to page R20 is identical language between the House and the Senate related to the process for filing challenges to a voter's eligibility. The language is identical. And then next, on line 16, which is on page R22 of the side-by-side, if you're following along, is similar language between the House and the Senate related to the use of electronic rosters in polling places. And the recommendation here for your consideration is adoption of House Section 21. Then line 17 of the table is identical language between the House and the Senate related to the way the preference ballot for governor is formatted. And then following on line 18 of the table, it's on page R23, it starts the series of sections related to early voting. Several of them are similar between the House and the Senate with an effective date difference. So both lines 18, 19, 20, and 21 are all similar between both bodies. And the proposal here is to adopt House sections 23, 24, 26, and 28. Then moving ahead and side by side to page R28 is language related to the return of absentee ballots. This is identical between both bodies, House Section 29 and Senate Section 19. And then another identical row for between the House and the Senate, House Section 30 and Senate Section 20, also on page R28 side by side, relates to the receipt of absentee ballots. And then last on this page is set of similar sections between the House and the Senate. The proposal here is to adopt Senate Section 18 related to absentee voting timing, with the exception of removing the reference to the effective date, which isn't necessary to accomplish the policy that's included in the Senate section.
Madam Chair and members, looking at page 3 of the grid, starting on line 25 or R29 in the side-by-side, talks about it's a similar section. The difference is the effective date, like it is for other early voting. And this section establishes early voting 18 days before an election. On line 26 or page R29, there are, and on line 27 and R30, there are two provisions amending the same statute relating to the alternative procedure. And they're in there two times because they have two different effective dates. The first time is makes some conforming changes and allows election judges to perform duties. And the second time this appears, it has to do with early voting. And there are some differences there related to, there's some grammar changes. And in on line 27, it adds a reference to election judges. You'll see on, my apologies, I'm muddling through things here. On line 27 of the grid, House Section 34 is proposed with the addition of line 113, 1 and 2 from the Senate that adds a reference to election judges. On line 28 or R31, it designates, it allows the designation of temporary polling places. These designations are made 47 days before the election. And you'll see in the changes column, there's a new paragraph that will be added. That appears on an earlier page, reviser page R29A6. It's paragraph B, and this allows for tribal areas to request a polling place be designated on reservations for at least one day during the absentee or early voting period. So that paragraph is moved from an earlier section to this one to make sure it applies to absentee and early voting. on row 29 or R31 moves a provision in existing law to its own subdivision that says absentee voting for towns is for 30 days before the election. On row 30 or R31 requires designations of polling places to be made 14 weeks before election day, with the exception of the temporary polling places, which we talked about earlier. On row 31 or R31, this requires notice provided to the voters of the times and places for voting for the election. On row 32 or R32, it requires the county to provide certain election equipment for each precinct. On row 33 or R32, there is a similar provision, and the proposal is to adopt Senate Section 27 with a change to refer to town instead of township, which picks up that one house change. And this has to do with hours for early voting that are split up between the state general election and different hours for other elections. On row 34 or R33, this is the delivery of ballots to healthcare facilities before an election. And these two are similar, and we're picking, the proposal is to pick up the house language. And my apologies, I didn't mark down the difference, so. Yes, it changes the time period. So in the original bill, the House had 45, this allowed for 45 days before the election. The Senate had it 30 days before the election. And the proposal is to adopt this section with a change to 30, allowing this for 35 days before an election. And you'll see that in the change column. Row 35 or R33 is an identical provision, and this allows additional time to return agents to return absentee ballots on election day and makes some updates to terminology. Row 36 or R34 has to do with when names of people who had absentee ballots rejected may be available to the public, and these are similar. This is an effective date difference in the proposals for the House section. And on row 37 or R34, it's a similar provision, only this time it's about lists of people who voted early. The similarity, again, the difference is in the effective date, and the proposal is to adopt the House 44.
And then, Madam Chair, moving ahead to page 4 of the table summary, we're still on page R34, the side-by-side, if you're following along there. The first row there, row 38, is similar language between the House and the Senate. This is another early voting section, and the proposal here is for House Section 45, which includes the corresponding effective date that we've been discussing previously. Line 39 relates to the duties of absentee ballot boards. This is similar language between the House and the Senate, and the proposal is to adopt Senate Section 31. Next, on page R36 of the side-by-side, row 40 of the table is similar language between the two bodies related to sorry, Madam Chair, I lost my row. This is similar language between the two bodies related to the way that absentee voting records are recorded. The proposal here is to take Senate Section 33, but then also take the effective date from the House, which is the early voting effective date we've discussed. And then there's one exception in Senate Section 33 to exclude adoption of lines 119.12 to 119.18. This is would reinstate language that's proposed to be stricken related to the way that the record of a voter whose absentee ballot is received after the close of business is marked in a polling place roster. And then next, moving ahead to page R37, side-by-side, similar language between the House and the Senate. This is Senate Section 32, House Section 48. The proposal here is to accept Senate Section 32, which includes references to county offices. That's the primary difference between the two. And then row 42 relates to the opening of absentee ballot envelopes. Similar language again between the House and the Senate with an effective date difference, and the proposal is to accept Senate Section 34. on page, also on page R38 of the side-by-side, row 43 on this table is identical language between the House and the Senate. This is one of the maintains residence changes, so the proposal is to accept that. And then row 44 of the table, moving ahead in the side-by-side to page R41, is the substantive language that authorizes the transmission of absentee ballots to utility workers and emergency personnel who are deployed in response to an emergency. The proposal here is to accept Senate section 29, the Senate language, with two changes. One is to delete the term, the phrase that occurs. So if you're looking at the side-by-side, it's line 51.29, deleting that occurs. And then on line 51.32, changing a shall to a must. And then next, Madam Chair, is row 45 of the table. Move ahead to page R42 of the side-by-side. This is another early voting section, so the proposal is to accept the House effective date and then Senate section 35, excluding lines 120.23 to 120.26, which is the Senate effective date. So you're sort of merging the House and Senate sections together. And then additionally, on line 120.19, on the Senate language, you would insert the word the before early voting. And that effectively merges some of the House language in with the Senate language. On row 46, form of affidavits of candidacy, this is on page R42 of the side-by-side also. This is identical language between the House and the Senate. The proposal is to accept this identical language. Row 47 relates to the use of reporting of electronic mail addresses by candidates in filing their affidavits of candidacy. There's similar language between the House and the Senate, and the proposal is to accept Senate section 31. And then the last two sections on this page of the table, rows 48 and 49, are both identical between the House and Senate, and they relate to, again, filing affidavits of candidacy and the circumstances under which a candidate might be able to file affidavits of a candidacy for more than one office at the same election.
Moving to the top of page 5 of the grid document, row 50 or R45 is an identical provision relating to maintains residency. Row 51 or R45 allows municipalities and school districts to, allows municipalities, townships, school boards, and other local governments to require write-in voters to request that their write-in votes be counted. And these are similar provisions and suggesting that the Senate provision be accepted. The differences are grammatical. Row 52 or R47 specifies that vacancies and the provisions in state law about vacancies and nomination don't apply to federal offices, and these are identical sections. Row 53 or R47 requires locals to notify the Secretary of State when merging or separating precinct polling places, and these are identical provisions. On row 54 or R49, it requires local governments to adopt a new resolution establishing polling places only if there has been a change. If there have been no changes, they can continue to use the existing resolution. And these are identical provisions. Row 55 or R49 are identical provisions, and it changes the terminology of high school election judge to trainee election judge and allows students who graduate but are not yet 18 to continue to be a trainee election judge until they turn 18, in which they can become a regular election judge. Row 56 or R50 are identical provisions relating to maintains residence. On row 57, R51, it allows election judges to be removed in certain circumstances for, I should just look at the language, for malfeasance or misconduct or for other cause. On row, and that's a similar provision, and the difference is the effective date. The Senate has an immediate effective date, and the proposal is to adopt Senate Section 37. On row 58 or R51, there are two similar sections requiring the county to provide early voting materials to the auditor, to the municipal clerks, and the proposal is to adopt Senate Section 38, but include the House effective date. So again, sort of merging the two together. on row 59, R51. This is the first of several sections that change the requirements. Current law requires publication of sample ballots, and these provisions, instead of publishing a sample ballot, require a publication of a notice of the election and requires specific information. And this is the first of several conforming changes to that concept. And these are identical provisions. On row 60 or R52, they're identical provisions related to electronic voting systems. And this allows the electronic voting system to mark a blank ballot. Sometimes this is referred to as skinny ballots. And on row 61, R52, it authorizes mail voting in any town, anywhere in the state, or any city with fewer than 400 registered voters anywhere in the state. So the change is removing the geographical restriction.
Madam Chair, moving ahead to page 6 of the table, rows 62 and 63 both relate to mail balloting process. And the proposal is to adopt Senate sections 40 and 41 on those two rows, with the exception of including a House head note for clarity that you see on the side-by-side on page R52, A5, line 115.10. There's a head note that says voting prior to election day. So it would be proposed that that head note be incorporated in with the Senate language in other respects. Then row 64 of the table is language on page R55 of the side-by-side, identical between both bodies. This amends the section of law that requires the I voted stickers to be available to voters, and it limits a cross-reference that is obsolete with the changes that are proposed in this bill. And then moving ahead to row 65, page R56 of the side-by-side, House Section 73 and Senate Section 42 authorizes individuals to take time off of work to vote during the early voting period. That's identical between both bodies. Also on page R56, identical language, House Section 74 and Senate Section 43 relates to the conduct of challengers in a polling place. And then identical language, moving ahead to R57 of the side-by-side. This is row 67 of the table, eliminating language that restricts the number of voters a person can assist in marking their ballot, is identical between both bodies. Then row 68, page R58 of the side-by-side, again, is identical language related to the information requirements, or information that must be included on a precinct summary statement that is prepared after an election has concluded. And then row 69, page R59 of the side-by-side, relates to the work of the State Canvassing Board. There's similar language between the House and the Senate. This is the section that requires the State Canvassing Board to declare candidates who have received the highest number of votes as duly elected for federal and state offices. The language is a little bit different between both bodies, and the proposal here is to adopt Senate Section 47. Then row 70 on page R60 of the side-by-side is identical between both bodies. This is new language that would permit a canvassing board to direct recount officials to make images of ballots to be used in a recount. And then row 71, page R60, again, identical language between the House and the Senate, House 81 and Senate Section 49, related to the way that corrections can be made if there's an obvious error in counting. Row 72, page R61 of the side-by-side is one of a set of sections that relates to the way that the state nonpartisan primary ballot is arranged. It's identical between the House and Senate, House Section 83 and Senate Section 50. Then row 73, also on page R61 of the side-by-side, relates to sample ballots. The language is identical between both bodies, and this is language that relates to the publication of sample ballots. Row 74 is also the same between both bodies. This is on R62 of the side-by-side. This is the substantive language that directs the Secretary of State, in collaboration with stakeholders, to design a notice to be published related to an election, including the format and content of the notice, and goes along with the set of sections about publication of election notices in the newspaper. And then last on this page is row 75, on page R64 of the side-by-side, identical language between both bodies related to the form of the special election primary ballot.
Moving to the top of page 7 of the grid document, row 76 or R64 are identical provisions, another maintained residence change. Row 77 or R65 are identical provisions, and this again is about the publication of a notice instead of publishing sample ballots. Row 78 or R65 are identical provisions requiring changes in municipal polling places to be reported to the Secretary of State. Row 79, R65 is the same provision, only related to school districts needing to notify if their polling place hours have changed. On row 80 or R66, two more identical provisions related to maintains residency. Row 81 or R66 is another maintains residency provision that are identical. On row 82 or R66, and row 83 on R67 are all identical provisions, and this requires municipalities and counties to continue using electronic voting systems once they have started using them. Row 84 or R67 is a similar provision that has to do with marking the electronic voting systems that mark blank ballots. This is sort of the assistive voting technology, and the suggestion is to adopt the Senate language. And the difference here is a technical difference. The Senate refers to more specifically to an item in a different statutory section. So the Senate is a little more precise, and so the proposal is to adopt the Senate language. On row 85, R67, this is another one relating to electronic voting systems, marking blank ballots, and this is the section that establishes the authority for voting systems to do that. On row 86 or R69, it amends the timing of testing for voting systems, so it requires the public accuracy testing 3 days before the equipment is used, and those are identical sections. On row 87 or R69, there are similar provisions, and the suggested the difference is the effective date, and the suggested language is the Senate language, and this prohibits a county auditor or municipal clerk from creating or disclosing or allow others to do the same of disclosing an electronic image of a hard drive of any tabulating or other component of an electronic voting system, and that has an immediate effective date. On row 88 or R70, it classifies the data that are created in cast vote records, and those are identical provisions. On row 89, R70, this again has to do with the ballots that are marked by the electronic voting system, and if there are 10 or fewer of those ballots, the election judge from that precinct can't be part of the recount. These are similar provisions. The Senate section is proposed here, again, because it has a more specific cross-reference.
Madam Chair, moving ahead to page 8, we're getting close to the end of this table. The top of page 8 is row 90. This is identical language between the House and the Senate related to the requirements for counting write-in votes when a voter writes in a name and also marks the oval on the ballot associated with that write-in vote name. Row 91 and 92 both relate to the conduct of the presidential nomination primary. Row 91 is identical language between the House and the Senate. House Section 106 and Senate Section 71 that relates to the participation of safe-at-home voters in the presidential nomination primary. And then Row 92 is identical language for the presidential nomination primary related to the way that local governments are reimbursed for expenses associated with conducting that election. Rows 93, 94, and 95 are identical between the House and the Senate. This is House Sections 108, 109, and 110, and Senate Sections 73, 74, 75. These three sections together adopt the National Popular Vote Interstate Compact. Row 96 is identical language, House Section 111 and Senate Section 76. This is one of the maintains residence terminology change sections. And then I'll slow down a little bit and walk through the change on row 97. This is the substantive section with new policy related to intimidation and interference with the work of an election official. So the language between both bodies is similar in these two sections, and the proposal here, as you see on the table, is to sort of combine the two and then also adopt an amendment. So I'll start by saying on the House side, the proposal is to adopt House Section 112, Subdivision 2, which is the section that prohibits intimidation of election officials, and subdivision 11, which provides both criminal and civil remedies for violations of this section. So you would be taking those two subdivisions, and then on the Senate side, you would be adopting Senate subdivision 1. So if you're looking at the side-by-side, this is on R76. Senate subdivision 1 is the definition subdivision. And then you'd be taking Senate subdivision 3, which is the prohibition on interfering with or hindering the administration of an election. Senate subdivision 4, which is about dissemination of personal information about an elections official. Senate section 5, or subdivision 5, which is about obstructing access to a polling place or meeting of a canvassing board or other location where election duties are occurring. This proposal also adopts Senate subdivision 6 related to tampering with voting equipment, Senate subdivision 7 related to tampering with a ballot box, Senate subdivision 9 related to unauthorized access to the statewide voter registration system, and then subdivision 10, which is a section that provides for what's called vicarious liability or conspiracy. So this is the way that these criminal penalties can be extended to others who participate in facilitating some of these activities that are newly prohibited by this section. And then also within the section, the proposal is to accept the Senate effective date, which is June 15th of 2023, which you see on line 130.28 and 29, which is on page R78 of the side-by-side. So then with those sections and subdivisions that I just described, additionally, there is an amendment, which I believe is in the packet of all the members. This is the A62 amendment, which proposes to adopt what is currently drafted in subdivision 8 in both bodies. This is, I think I would describe it as just sort of a technical reorganization of subdivision 8 in an attempt to improve the clarity of the subdivision. So this is language that relates to prohibited activities around tampering with voter registration systems, registration lists, or polling place rosters. So things like changing names or words in the system, or destroying or taking out a roster or registration list without having an official reason for doing so. So the proposal, Madam Chair, here would be to adopt all the subdivisions I listed plus this H1830A62 amendment. And then, Madam Chair, next on the table is Row 98. So this is language that is similar between both bodies related to campaign activities and solicitation near polling places. And the proposal here is to adopt Senate Section 47 with one modification on Senate line 130.31. Insert paragraph heading or paragraph lettering A before a person. So there's a paragraph A and paragraph B in this section of the statute. And then moving ahead to row 99, page R79 of the side-by-side, is identical language between both bodies that updates a cross-reference related to certain activities of political parties. And then row 100, on page R79 of the side-by-side, is identical between both bodies. This is the language that clarifies the existing authorization for candidates to access multi-unit apartment and residential facilities, and also that they be permitted when they're in those facilities to knock on the doors of individual residents to speak with residents and leave campaign materials. And then last on this page of the chart is row 101. This is similar language between the House and the Senate, and the proposal is to accept House Section 116. This goes along with the intimidation and interference with elections officials. This is a cross-reference that clarifies the way that section that we described previously would be enforced through the administrative, through the Office of Administrative Hearings, effectively, that this preempts the Office of Administrative Hearings process, and instead that section will be enforced by the civil and criminal penalties described.
Madam Chair and members, on page 9, which is the final page of the same and similar list, rows 102 and 103 on R80 and R81 are identical provisions, and they both relate to maintains residency. Row 104 on R82 is the early voting certification provision that Mr. Gehring and I have been referring to throughout, and this relates to the effective dates of all of the provisions related to early voting, and this requires the Secretary of State to certify to the revisor that the SVRS is capable of working for early voting. And they are similar, have the same effect but the house provision works better in a technical capacity. And then the last row is row 105 on R85, that repeals a provision related to absentee voting that has been replaced by a new section in the bill. And that is the end of the same and similars. Madam Chair, we can pause before we go to the standalone sections.
Thank you both, and very brilliant work. I'm always impressed every time I'm at this point in the session with the capacity to do what you just did. So thank you very, very much. I think before we go to member questions or to actions, I'd like to hear from both of the election chairs who are part of this conference to share just a little bit about the work that they have done to bring us to the agreement that is before us right now. And I think first I'd turn to Chair Freiberg.
Sure. Thank you, Chair Murphy. So, yeah, just so members in the public are aware of kind of how this came about. We, as kind of elections chairs, we met on Saturday for, I want to say, about 5 hours, just to kind of at least find areas we could agree on fairly quickly. So we included in that meeting our committee administrators, as well as a staff from the Secretary of State's office to provide technical assistance. So we were able to identify the provisions, you know, where there were some differences, we were able to find out which one would be more administratively manageable. So that was kind of the main guidepost we used, I would say, rather than, you know, which chamber has more victories. So, you know, I think these are all fairly agreeable provisions to us. I'd say that we kind of wanted to make sure that the language was as strong and easy to administer as possible. That was kind of our main goal in that meeting. Is there more information? Happy to turn it over to Senate Chair Carlson to describe his take on it.
Chair Carlson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I think Chair Freiberg said it very well, that we've gotten a lot of good work done already. And I really have to thank the staff that has worked so hard on making sure we understood all the differences. Sometimes it was just terminology, and you know, the same and similars are really not a problem at all. So I think this has been a great day of getting things done, so I really appreciate it. We did go through about 80 pages of the side by side, so there was a lot of work that was done there, and I think it was well worth the time spent on the weekend. And I think we're I don't know if we're ahead of the game, but we're at least keeping up with it. And so thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you both. And we're not quite through the overview. So we have a little bit more to go through in terms of standalone sections before we move to action, but did want to give our staff just a little bit of a break. You ready?
So Madam Chair, then next we'll walk through what's attached to the table you've previously been looking through at the end. This is a new table that just refers to the standalone sections that are being proposed here for potential adoption. And as we did before, we'll go back and forth between Ms. Dangle and I, between the House and the Senate sections. So row one, as you see on the table, for standalone sections is a House-only section. This is language that establishes a right for workers of the United States Census to access multiple multi-unit residential buildings in the same way as candidates have access. I described previously the knocking on doors change that we saw earlier in similar language. This is a House-only section that allows census workers access to buildings.
Madam Chair and members, on row two, there are two Senate-only provisions, Senate sections 12 and 13. You'll find those on pages R17 and R18. And these relate to the reports that the Commissioner of Corrections and the State Court Administrator are required to submit to the Secretary of State related to people that are incarcerated or serving on probation. And in light of the bill that was passed earlier this session, allowing people to vote as soon as they are released from incarceration, this amends the report accordingly. So they're reporting data in a way that lines up with people's ability to vote.
And then, Madam Chair, next on row three of the table, you see utility worker definition. This is a House-only section 25. This establishes a definition of utility worker that's used within the context of the section we discussed previously that authorizes certain absentee voting procedures for both utility workers and emergency response personnel that are deployed during an election period. And then row four is the House only section, House section 27. This is an amendment that was adopted on the House floor that prohibits compensation to individuals for receipt or collection of absentee ballot applications if the compensation is based on an incentive model. So if you collect a certain number of applications, you would receive a certain amount of compensation. That is House only section 27.
Madam Chair and members, on line five of the document, or R26, there is a provision about delivery of absentee ballots, and this is a technical change talking about how assisted living facilities are referenced. There was a change several years ago in the HHS area on how these things are referred to, and so this is picking up that technical change. And then on rows 6, 7, and 8 are Senate only sections 16, 17, and 18. You'll find these all on R27. And these are the first of a series of sections that update terminology related to absentee ballot envelopes. As you know, there are several types of envelopes, and over the years, the terminology has been sort of muddled in statute, and this clarifies the statute to make sure that the envelopes are being properly named. On page R33, there's a Senate-only provision, Senate Section 21. This is on row 9 of the document. This has to do with administration of absentee voting. And this expands the existing ability to deliver absentee ballots to healthcare facilities, to veterans' homes. And it also allows local governments to opt in to do the same absentee ballot delivery to shelters for battered women and assisted living facilities. And then on rows 10, 11, 12, Senate sections 25, 26, 27, and 28, on R38 through R40, these are more envelope terminology changes.
Then, Madam Chair, row 14 of the table is House only section, House section 70. This is language that exists within, that's proposed to exist within the mail balloting procedures section of statute, authorizing county auditors to make a live ballot counter and ballot box available for use during voting hours on election day. This is House section 70, and then one modification to this language. If you're looking at the side-by-side, it's on page R54, line 117.8. The proposal would be to delete the word absentee, so the what you see as paragraph D there would just refer to the work of the of the ballot board as opposed to the absentee ballot board.
On row 15, Senate section 43 on page R56 is a maintains residency change, and then makes a couple of other grammatical sorts of changes. And then on the last page, rows 16, 17, and 18, or Senate sections 52, 53, and 54, found on R61 and 62, have to do with rotating names on the ballot. So the presidential, the process for presidential candidates remains the same, so that's placed in order based on recent vote totals. But all other offices are rotated so that they appear the same number of times in each place on the ballot. Row 19 on R75 has to do with primary election reports for local governments, and this requires these reports to be filed regardless of whether the candidate or issue is on a primary ballot or whether a primary ballot is conducted. So essentially, it's more about the timing of the report and making sure that the report is done at that time, and less about whether there's a primary election. And in the changes column, you'll see that there the language on 120 lines 128.6 to 128.9 on R75 are deleted, and this new sentence is inserted. It's the same sort of goal, just achieved a little bit differently.
Then, Madam Chair, last on this table, row 20 is the House only section. This corresponds with the rotation of candidate names that Ms. Stengel described. So you're proposing to accept the Senate language on those policy changes and just one of the repealers that the House picked up on the House side. So this is the repealer of section 204D.04, subdivision 1, which is an existing law that conflicts with the proposed new process for ordering candidates. And so that piece of the House language related to candidate ordering would be maintained. And Madam Chair, that's the end of the walkthrough of that side by side.
All right. So we have, as Chair Freiberg explained to us, this body of work does not represent all of the work of elections in this conference, but the work that they have done thus far, largely around election administrations and some of the standalone provisions, and what we have before us is work between the conference that is largely agreed to, I would say. And when we're done, we will adopt these provisions along with one amendment. But before we do that, I just wanted to see if members had questions or comments or issues that they wanted to raise before we acted. Wow. That's silence. They say that's praise. Representative Nash?
Ooh, it's okay.
There we go.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I don't know that my silence indicates consent. It just recognizes the fact that I'm outnumbered 7-1. So any objection that I would bring would be promptly, yes, 9-1. Thanks for that. It'd be promptly voted down.
And just to be clear, I didn't say consent but praise, but I understand what you're saying. Anybody else? So we do have one amendment. It is the A62 amendment that I think Representative Freiberg will move.
Sure, I will move the A62 amendment, which has previously been described by Matt Garrett.
It has been previously described by Council Garrett. It deals with tampering with statewide voter registration system. It was outlined in the presentation by our council. Representative Greenman.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I would just note that this is largely just a restructure of what's already in the provision, just to make it clear. It was noted by staff that it was one long run-on sentence, and so it's structured in a way that makes it clearer.
Thank you for that. Any other questions or comments? Seeing none, Representative Freiberg moves the A62. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, say no. And that motion is adopted. Are there other motions? I suspect that Representative Freiberg would move that the provisions
sure.
included on the document.
Yes, I can move that the provisions included on the document titled Election Administration Policy, same/similar sections for potential adoption, dated May 3rd, 2023 at 12:52 p.m., pages 1 through 9, be included in the conference committee report.
Thank you, Representative Freiberg. Are there questions, members, about the motion? And seeing no questions, Representative Freiberg moves that the provisions included on the document titled Election Administration Policy, same-similar sections for potential adoption, dated 5/3/23 at 12:52 p.m., pages 1 to 9, be included in the conference report. And I have, I'm going to amend that motion to say 5/3/24. May the 4th be with you. One more time, Representative Freiberg moves that the provisions included on the document titled Election Administration Policy, same-similar sections for potential adoption, dated May 4, 23 at 12:52 p.m., pages 1 to 9, be included in the conference committee report.
I will accept that as a friendly amendment.
All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. And those opposed, say no. And that motion is adopted, and I heard you.
No.
I heard you.
Yeah?
Yep. Is there another motion before us? Senator Carlson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I move that the remaining provisions on pages 10 and 11, the heading standalone section for potential adoption, dated 5/4/23 at 12:52 p.m., be included in the conference.
Thank you, Senator Carlson. Members, do you have questions regarding this motion? Seeing no questions, Senator Carlson moves that the remaining provisions on page 10 and 11 with the heading Standalone Sections for Potential Adoption, dated 5/4/23 at 12:52 p.m., be included in the conference committee report. All those in favor, please say aye.
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 And those opposed, say no.
No.
And that motion is adopted.
That was clear.
Okay.
I'm
all about clarity.
And members?
Got to get that straight. So.
Good. I want to thank everybody for doing the work to get us to this beginning point. It's an important point. And for everybody who's here, of course, this conference committee deals with a variety of issues, elections among them, elections for most of us, if not everybody in this room, near and dear to our hearts. So to those who have put their time and their labor into creating what we have before us now, I want to thank you. It is critical work for Minnesotans and for our democracy. I'm going to let Chair Cleavorn talk a little bit about what to expect tomorrow, as she will have the gavel tomorrow. And I will say that we have been talking together about the spreadsheet and doing some work. And I know that we're going to be doing some work on Saturday, though unclear yet about a weekend meeting that's public. But we intend to wrap up this work in due time and hopefully by the end of Saturday. Chair Cleavorn?
I just want to say thank you again to the elections team. This is really great work, and I know it took a lot of time and effort, so I too say thank you. We are trying to still coordinate some schedules and make sure that all of our conferees can be at the table tomorrow. So please look later at the end of today to see what time we'll be meeting tomorrow. And yes, we will be having a meeting tomorrow, just TBD time. We're still working on the schedule.
All right, then, with no business before the meeting for today, our meeting is adjourned. Thank you very much.